So today I want to talk about the guardians of the garden. And so we're going to go back in time. We're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go back to the first man. We want to learn some things from him that are relevant for us here today. So men, this is not just going in one ear and out the other today. This is for you. And so I want you to notice as we go through these scriptures that God refers to Adam as the man. So this morning, I want to say to each man here today, you are the man. You are the man, all right? And so I just want you to know that men, that fatherhood is a role that we play, right? And that we have been created in God's image. And that's the most important thing, that you are a man here today. How many know you recognize yourself as a man? Amen. Hallelujah. The world's a little confused about that, but this morning when I was getting dressed, I noticed I was a man. So, amen. God bless you. I hope you did too. And there's no confusion in it. Amen. Aren't you glad you have the mind of Christ and not the mind of the world? Amen. The God of this world has kind of twisted some people up. Amen. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to lay a foundation here today, and I'm going to kind of just overemphasize the word, the man. So just kind of bear with me here as we go through it here today, because men, you are the man. All right. So if you don't get anything out about it, you can walk out, look in the mirror today and say, I'm the man. Amen. Your wife may not say that. Your girlfriend may not say it. Nobody else may say that. Or your kids may not even say that, but at least say it to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed a man, notice the word a man, from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And if you would look that up in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, and if you look in the New Testament, that word breathe means what? It means breath, it means wind, it means the Holy Spirit. So God breathed into the first man the Holy Spirit in the very beginning. And it said, and the man... We notice we went from a man to the man. He became a living being. Go to verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. In Genesis chapter 2, we're going to jump to verse 15. It says, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to do what? To work it and to take care of it. Or the King James says, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when, he knew when, there was a when coming, you eat from it, you will certainly die. We know we're not talking about physical death here, we're talking about spiritual death. So we read in there that he breathed into them, he gave him life, and all of a sudden... We know that when he ate of it, he died spiritually. And so kind of keep this in mind as we move here today. And what I want you to realize here today in the scripture, that freedom does not mean there are no boundaries. How many know that? There are boundaries to freedom. Because when you express your freedom, guess what? It may step on my freedom. And so there are boundaries that God has set in place, and that we're free to operate within those boundaries. Go to verse 19 of chapter 2. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave the names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. And if you jump to verse 23, it says, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woe man, for she was taken out of man. Amen. So he named all the animals, and he even gave Eve her name. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And this is after the fall, when they disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden tree. We read, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work. Notice he still has to work, whether he's in the garden or out of the garden. He has to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So, Father, we're just asking today that you just bless your word, bless me, bless your people today. And, Lord, help us to receive a word from your Holy Spirit today. We pray in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So, let's summarize the story here. Adam, he was made outside of the garden. Adam actually means red dirt. He was made out of dirt. And he was placed in a garden that God had prepared for him. Notice, he was created, and then God planted a garden. And we know that he sinned. He disobeyed God's order. And God had to remove him from the garden. And so, as a result, he was forbidden to return to that place that God had created just for him. So, as the guardian of the garden, he didn't do so well. The man failed. He didn't live up to what was commanded of him. So I want to look at Adam here a little bit here this morning, some characteristics of him that represent us here today as men. So ladies, you're just here kind of listening in. We're talking to the men. I'm talking to you. He's looking away. You're the man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't get up and go to the bathroom 15 times. I'm watching. Come on. I'm watching you. All right. Hallelujah. So this is Father's Day, men. So we're going to look at the traits of Adam that are still ours today. Adam was spiritual. He was the paramount of creation. He was God's made in God's image. David wrote in Psalm 8, "Who is man that God is mindful of him?" And we know that it was God's breath that made him a living being. And just remember, we can't die, guess what, until we're alive, right? And so we have those scriptures that said he breathed into him, and when he sinned, he died spiritually. And so he was created to be in communion with God. And we know this because it says he walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. He would come down and walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. We know that he was spiritual. We also know he was industrious. We know that he was commanded to work. Men, I don't know if you've ever been out of work for a period of time, but man, it is grueling. It is painful. You can only handle it for so long, and then you start going nuts. And so we know that we are created as men to be industrious, to work. So he was commanded to work. And in that scripture, in chapter 2, verse 15, it says the word work. He was commanded to work. It means to till. It means to tend. It means to serve. It means to be a slave. We don't like kind of that kind of wording, but that's what his number one responsibility was, to take care of the garden. So we know Adam's purpose, we know his calling, because God gave it to him. He made a garden, he put him in there and said, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the work that I have assigned to you. We also know he was accountable. He was commanded to take care of it. King James says, keep it. All right, in that same chapter, chapter 2, verse 15, we see that word keep it, to care for it, means to observe, to be alert. It means to guard. It means to keep. And so he was given authority. What I want you to see was he was not given, he wasn't the guardian of the galaxy. He wasn't the guardian of the earth, but he was the guardian of the garden. Because he made a garden, God put him there and said, this is the area that I want you to control. This was his duty. This was his task. This was his assignment. He was supposed to manage the garden. And so we look at this, and I want you to see that this word keep it, to care for it, is the same word that we see in the last scripture we read, that the angel was there to guard the tree. And so we have an understanding here today that Adam was supposed to what? Guard the tree against anybody eating the tree of the good, the fruit of the good and knowledge of good and evil. Yes. Amen. And we see at the end that the angel was what? To guard the tree of life. And so we see that the angel took his responsibility a little bit more serious than Adam. So he was accountable to God. He was intelligent. He had cognitive skills. He wasn't a blank slate. How many have ever had a baby? Yes, they come into the world with limited knowledge. They come in as almost a blank slate. And so Adam wasn't created that way. He already had in mind, he had skills that were already built in. He had a work assignment that God already had equipped him to carry out. He had the ability to communicate. He communicated with God. He communicated with Eve. He communicated with the servant. Some scholars believe that all the animals talked at one time. You can take that or leave that here today. Whether they talked or not, he was kind of like a Dr. Doolittle, right? And he was able to talk to the animals. So he named the animals, as we read. He named Eve. And so he was intelligent. And lastly, he had free will. He had the ability to choose. So everyone in this place, in this house today, has the ability to choose. So he was given some commandments. He was commanded to work. He was commanded to guard the garden. He was commanded not to eat of a tree. And one that we don't see here too lightly until the curse comes, he wasn't even supposed to listen to his wife. You chuckled, but you didn't say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know God has blessed our wives as a helpmate? And how many know that they are a blessing into our life? And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, they give us good advice, right? And so I have been blessed with a wife who has partnered with me in ministry. And the only area that I don't respect her in is in the area of giving directions or even driving. Because it's funny, she didn't get lost coming to church here this morning. And so that was one of the things that came forth here, that he listened to the voice of his wife rather than the voice of God. And men, if God is speaking to you about a specific area of your life or something that he wants you to do, you better do it, and you better not allow your wife to talk you out of it. She is a helpmate. She is not the boss. This is going over really well here this morning. So we see in this story that Adam listened to his wife concerning eating of the tree. Who was given the command? Adam was given the command before she was even created. We see the story here that Adam listened to Eve. Abraham listened to Sarah. Isaac listened to Rebekah. Jacob listened to Rachel. I'm glad Job didn't listen to his wife, right? Jezebel ruled over her husband Ahab. And you can go throughout the Bible of individuals who had listened to their wives, and they found themselves in some hot water because instead of listening to the voice of God, they listened to their partner, the one that God had given them. So I'm not underwriting, wife, your position here today, but men, we have a priority to run our homes, our marriages, to be an authority that God has placed us in. That God, when he speaks to us, men, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Even if it's your wife, right? The most important person in your life. Don't let them talk it out of it. And we see in this story that he had a free will. He had a choice. And he failed in that area. So men, today, God has made us to be spiritual. He has made us to commune with God. He has made us industrious. He has endowed each and every one of us men with some specific skill or talents. He has made us accountable. He has made us accountable to God. We are accountable to ourselves. How many know that? In our marriages, in our family, we're going to give account. In our occupations. How many know even our government? We have a responsibility, right? JFK said, what? What did he say? It's not. Amen. And so that's important for us here today to remember those words when it comes to the kingdom of God. And so we're intelligent. Some have more education than others, but how many know that doesn't always equate to a lot of common sense? All right. There's a lot of people with wisdom, but they're stupid as a stick. All right. Let's just say that. And he has given us free will, all right? So a lot of time, folks, we're very good at blaming God for the situations in which we find ourselves. We may not blame him consciously, but unconsciously we do blame him for some of the situations. Why me? Have you ever said that? Who are you talking to? We're talking to him, right? Why? So let's not blame God. Much of what we go through in life is because of the choices that we have made. So he has made us guardians of our gardens here this morning. God has placed each and every one of us men in a garden. As believers, we are responsible for the garden which God has planted us. That garden includes our homes. It has to deal with our family and our friends, those relationships which are important to us. It's the workplace. It's the school, so we're not leaving any of the teenagers and those younger out because you have a responsibility. How many know our schools is one of the biggest missions fields in the United States? It's our community. And how many know that as we're gathered here today, how many know this is part of our garden? That we are called to work in it, and we are called to guard it. And so we have that responsibility. So let's get past this idea of being responsible for the galaxy, being responsible for all the things that are going on in the world. How about if we just be responsible for where God has planted us, the garden in which God has placed us? And I believe if we take care of that, God will expand the borders of our garden. Amen. Genesis chapter 2:15 reminds us that we are like Adam. God places us where he wants us. God took the man, put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. And so, almost done. Are you ready? Because I want to get on the water. No. So the Bible does tell us that the first Adam didn't do so well. He kind of messed up. Even though God had created it, everything was perfect. God had placed him in a garden. Everything was in perfection. But yet we see that he failed. And so the Bible tells us there are two Adams. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the second Adam that came along? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read this starting with verse 45. So it is written, the first man, the man who was created first, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. 47, the first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. As was the early man, so are those who are of the earth, and as in the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, and shall we bear the image of the heavenly man, who is what? Jesus Christ. Earlier in that chapter, verse 21, it read, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in all Christ all will be made alive. So we have been given the same opportunity today as Adam had in the very beginning because of the person of Jesus Christ. Folks, we have a do-over. Aren't you glad today that we have a do-over? That we are not subject to the failure of Adam. But we have been set free, as we heard here this morning. We are at liberty today to start over. We are a new, what? Creation, right? Adam was a creation. We are a creation. And we have been set up for success in Jesus Christ. Josh, if you're awake. Amen. So what I want to speak to you here today, that Adam was given the gift of free choice, free will. Adam's choice set a world of things in motion. How many know that? Our life today, the choices that we make, set some things in motion. A second Adam was needed. How many know we needed a second Adam to come in our life and clean up our mess? There are consequences to bad choices. We know that. Aren't you glad today that the forgiveness of God is unlimited? Hallelujah. I believe Adam was forgiven. God showed him how to sacrifice. God showed him how to make clothing. God, as we read in the story of Cain and Abel, we know that there were sacrifices that were given. One was of blood, one was of the ground. And so we see that God accepted what? The offering of blood. And so they did understand that there was forgiveness to be had for their failure. So forgiveness is unlimited. So no matter what we have done, men, the truth is today that we can experience forgiveness. But he has also given us another gift, and that's grace. Hallelujah. Grace is needed with the consequences of our decisions. Adam was cast out of the garden. His life was changed forever. We read in there that he had to work, what? By the sweat of his brow. It said that his labors would bring, what? Thorns and thistles. And that, what? He would scratch out a living. How many understand that? It is part of the curse that happened to Adam. That's part of the consequences that happened. And so today, we need grace. How many know that? Hallelujah. That in our weakness, in our failures, in those things that we can't complete, his, what? Strength prevails. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. Yes, we're forgiven, but how many know that sometimes we have to deal with the consequences of our action, and God gives us the grace and the strength and the help that we need to deal with those consequences in our life. So James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose, it was God's will, his free choice, to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So free will is a good and perfect gift. And I don't know about you, sometimes free will seems more like a curse than a gift. Wouldn't it be nicer if we would just kind of give our hearts to the Lord and he just kind of sealed us and we didn't have to be tempted to be choosing between right and wrong and maybe black and white or whatever? Wouldn't it be nice? Sometimes it would be. How many know who Mike Tomlin is? Coach of the Steelers, right? And how many know he has a lot of phrases that he has kind of coined and people kind of like to quote. And he has a quote that says, we need volunteers, not hostages. And so they've been kind of cleaning house on the football team. They got rid of one of their number one receivers this past year, and everybody's like, why? Because they don't want any hostages. And we will see the dividends of that choice this coming year. We need volunteers, not hostages. How many know that God doesn't want any hostages? He wants volunteers. So when we talk about free gift here, when we talk about this choice of free will, it is a gift based on love. He loves us, and we have a choice to love him and to obey him. We know that this gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights, who never changes. Aren't you glad he's our North Star? Aren't you glad that he's permanent, that he's our guiding light? He has provided eternal life through his promises. Even starting in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see even at the very beginning that he had promised that what? The serpent would bite his heel, and he would do what? Crush the serpent's head. Even right there in the midst of their sin, their rebellion, their sin of disobeying him, we see that God already gives us a promise of a coming Savior, the second Adam. Even though created last, man became the first in all or above all that God has created. We are his first fruits here today. So as we kind of wind down, and yes, it's kind of a short service here today, where will we choose to live? And so that's where we're at here today. God has placed you in a garden, gentlemen. And where will you choose to live? Will you choose to live within God's will? where you are called to work and to guard in the assignment that he has given you? Or will we choose what we want? And will we, like Adam, be on the outside looking in? Folks, we don't want to find ourselves in that place here today. God has placed us in a garden, and we are the guardians of that garden. We are called to work in it. We are called to take care of it. We are called to live in God's plan, not outside of his plan for our lives. So men, God has made us to be spiritual. He has called us to be industrious, accountable, intelligent, and he has also given us the blessing of free will. God has given us guidelines. He has given us principles to live by. And church, we have a choice. We have a choice to live up to God's expectation. God has placed us in a garden, in our specific garden, and it is our choice to work and guard it. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And so, let me just change the words a little bit here today. All are called, but few respond. I think we understand that a little bit better here today. The Marines have a saying that they're the few and the proud. Sorry, Mr. Navy guy. We are guardians of what God has called us to be. And the truth is, there's just a few and there's the proud. He has called us to be the man. You are the man. That where God has placed you in the garden, in all those areas of your life that we described, you are the man that God has called to what? Work. He has called you to guard it. And so let me encourage you men here today. If you'll stand, men, today, we're going to pray over you today. Hallelujah. Appreciate each and every one of you here today. But let me say, you are the guardians of your gardens that God has placed you in. And folks, he has called you to be the light. He has called you to be the salt. He's called you to work there, not just to get a paycheck, right? Not just a position or a title. But he wants you to work there, and he wants you to guard that. He wants you to make it a safe place, a godly place. So I'm going to just ask the rest of you if you'll just reach out to those that are standing, ladies, if you would today. I want everybody connected with somebody here today. Men, if you'll move to another guy, if there's no family here with you here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you today, Father, and we see from the very beginning that Adam had a very important job. Lord, you had spoken to him and you had given him authority, Lord. You had given him some do's and don'ts, Lord. You had given him some expectations. And Father, on every man in here, there are expectations, Lord. There are things that you require of us. There are some things that their wives require of them. Their children need to require of them. Their bosses need to require of them. Lord, everywhere we go, Lord, there is an expectation on our lives. And so, Father, we're coming to this place here today, Father, that you have blessed us, Father, in all these different areas of our life. To be spiritual, to be industrious, to be accountable, to be intelligent, Lord. And to walk in that free will, Lord, to work because we want to, not because we have to. Lord, we don't want to be a hostage here today, Lord. We want to be a volunteer for you in your kingdom. That, Lord, you've placed all of these men in a specific core group of people, Lord, that their lives will touch. And I pray, Father, that we will choose, Lord, to be what you need us to be in each one of those areas, no matter where we're at the time. That, Father, you have equipped us, Father, to do the work. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us your word. Lord, you have given us the commandment to go and do. And Father, you've called us to be servants. You called us to work. You called us, Lord, to be there to help and influence other people. But you've also, Lord, called us to guard. And Father, we are responsible to be men of prayer. We are called to be men, Lord, that hold up the standard of godliness no matter where we're at, Father God. That we would be that example of faith and truth. And we ask in Jesus' name that you will anoint each man here today. That, Lord, as they choose here today, will it be God's will or will it be my will? That, Father, as we follow you, we know that we're called to work and we're called to guard, Lord. But outside of that, Lord, if we do not choose that, we'll be on the outside looking in. And so, Father, I'm asking today, Father, that in our hearts here today, Father, that we necessarily don't want to be better fathers. We don't want to be just better husbands, Lord. But we want to be better men. Men that you have created in your image. That we might, Lord, really reflect the Lord and Savior of our life. And so, Father, that is our number one role here today, is to be the man that you've called us to be in all these different aspects of our life. So, Father, today, as we have lifted up these men today, we just pray your blessing upon them. We just pray, God, for a greater capacity, Lord, to begin to, if we're not being that man or of authority in those positions, that, Lord, we will begin to step into those places that you've called us, Lord, to allow your Spirit to use us in a greater capacity. We love you, Lord, and I pray a blessing upon these men today, and we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.